Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred Jackson left Venus, and arriving on Venus is Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
Studio Venus, because we're social distancing here.
Yes, we are.
Ray is in Kansas City, Kansas.
Studio Pluto.
That's right, way on the edge of the known solar system.
I thought Pluto got kicked out.
I just back in.
Yeah, we brought it back in.
Really, got voted back in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good behavior? I don't know.
Yeah, based on probation.
Pluto paid its back dues. Got back into the solar system.
NASA determined that it wasn't named after something offensive, so it's back.
Oh my goodness! All right, Walker, you said you wanted to further confuse us with numbers.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Walker.
No, I mentioned we were talking about the fatality rate for COVID earlier in the show, and
in the United States,
and we were just clarifying some things. So I want to give one more caveat to what I'm talking about here. So there's two ways that people above my pay grade that do this, doctors, there's two ways that they measure fatality rate. You can do case fatality rate or infection fatality rate, two separate categories. Case fatality rate is simply those that have taken tests and tested positive, and then you divide that by the number of deaths. That's the simple way to do it. Another way to do it, which is more detailed and more accurate, is called the infection fatality rate, which also includes not just people who have tested positive for it, but people who have the antibodies in their system and who have been asymptomatic, and maybe they were never tested because they never displayed symptoms. So the infection fatality rate is what I'm talking about when I talk about 0.02, 0.03%. If you look at the case fatality rate, Ed is right, it's about 3%. When you just do the cases, the people who've tested positive divided by the deaths. But what I'm talking about is the infection fatality rate, which really gives you a more detailed, big picture image about how
dangerous. And what is that number?
That number is the 0.03, the 0.02 that I talked about at the beginning of the show.
And it's even lower than that, really, because how many people have had COVID-19 that don't know it?
Well, that's what this factors in.
Oh, this factors,
this
that
factors
in.
The percentage of the population that tests positive for the antibodies.
But my point is, how many have not even tested at all?
This takes a sample.
A sample,
of studies,
okay, and extrapolates?
Correct.
Okay,
and it applies, across the U.S. population.
I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're talking about here is the death rate in the United States for COVID-19, according to the Centers for Disease Control, is 0.3.
Yes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get this over to Brent, the study I'm looking at, and
because we have people who...
And post it on Facebook so people can read what we're looking
for,
here.
For themselves.
Yes.
Okay, Brent, can you do that? Can you handle that project?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and Brent will post what Walker's talking about here. There's so much confusion out there across the country about the numbers related to COVID-19, Steve, and what's trustworthy and what isn't. And a couple of days ago, the Mississippi State Coroner released a statement saying that the COVID-19 numbers in the Magnolia State were exaggerated to cause fear and panic among people. Did you see this?
I saw that. I didn't see that he said that the reason was to cause fear and panic. As I think we've talked here before, I think
didn't he say that, Walker?
Yeah, this was the DeSoto County, which is a large county in North Mississippi.
So he's not the state auditor. He's not the state coroner.
The one
did I say auditor? I meant coroner.
No, you're right, coroner. This was a county coroner that I read about.
DeSoto County coroner.
That obviously is a coroner for that county, which has several thousand people.
It made Newsweek.
Yeah, it did. And he was just talking about how, in his experience of labeling deaths and doing processing death certificates, how the number is very small that he's experiencing.
All right, Steve. So I looked that up. I don't want to misquote the fella. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to kind of back up what Walker's saying. Whatever, whichever metric you want to use, the 3% or the 0.3%, it's a fairly low number, and we have put our entire economy on hold now for months. New Zealand is held up as a model of a country that has dealt with this correctly. They haven't had a coronavirus case in over 100 days. They haven't had any. So they're all open back up. Everything's good. Their economy was hurt, but they're all open back up. But yesterday, on Tuesday, today, they found three new cases. The first three cases in one house, in one household, and they are going back into lockdown. In Auckland, they will move to alert three, which means that people will be asked to stay home. Bars and other businesses will close. Traveling to Auckland will be banned. The country will be raised to level three. The whole country will. Gatherings will be limited to 100 attendees. People would need to socially distance themselves from each other. This is a country who was out of the pandemic and is now, because of four cases in one household, going back into it. My fear is that the people who are putting our restrictions together under the guise of a health pandemic exception to the First Amendment, they can just re-up this at any time, and we're never going to get past this. Four cases.
New Zealand, that is?
In New Zealand, yes.
Wow.
You're saying they're shutting down a whole country again?
Yes.
Because of four cases?
Because of four cases in one household. Yes, that they have no idea how they got it.
All right, I knew I read this. The DeSoto County, Mississippi coroner, Josh Pounders, according to News Channel 3 Memphis, said that, and his Facebook page, I'm just summarizing it, said that the way COVID-19 cases must be reported is causing unnecessary fear and stress in the public. Maybe you can post that too. Mm-hmm. You can find it. It is posted. Yeah. So go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and we posted the story with these comments from the DeSoto County coroner, Josh Pounders. I used to live there. That's a county right up near Memphis, the northwesternmost part of the state of Mississippi. Anyway, large county, He has a very interesting Facebook post on how these numbers are being tabulated. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, next story.
The pandemic that we've been through have caused an awful lot of people.
No, we're going through it.
We're
Steve,
going through.
Don't you know what's going on?
It's true.
We haven't been through it. We're going through it.
We are.
Oh, man.
And what is forcing a lot of parents to do is reconsider how they are going to do school for their kids. A lot of homeschooling by force, and a lot of private online learning, etc. You might want to think twice about sending your kids back to school. Abe Hamilton in the Hamilton Corner last night took off on this. There's a Philadelphia public school teacher. His name is Matthew Kay. The question he wants to raise is, whose kids are they anyway? Listen to what he tweeted out. This is in a tweet to his fellow teachers.
Who are you quoting again now?
His name is Matthew Kay, K-A-Y.
Uh-huh.
He's a public school teacher at the Science Leadership Academy in Philadelphia. And he was talking with his fellow teachers, and this is what he tweeted out. So this fall, virtual class discussions will have many potential spectators, parents, siblings, etc., in the same room. We'll never be quite sure who's overhearing the discussions. How much have students depended on secure barriers of our physical classroom to encourage vulnerability? How many of us have installed some version of what happens in the classroom stays in the classroom? While conversations about race in my wheelhouse and remain concerned, I am most intrigued by the damage helicopter snowplow parents can do in honest conversations about gender and sexuality. Your kids, when they go to school, he is saying, are mine. I get to teach them about gender and sexuality and all the rest of the stuff. Parents, you're in the way.
Well, my kid wouldn't be going to that school.
But I wonder how many parents know. I mean, this isn't unusual for a teacher to have this
kind of, that's not a good decision on his part to say out loud that you know, kids are ours. We don't want parents, quote, snooping while we're doing our teaching, Zoom or otherwise. That's not typical.
I was talking with Abe Hamilton before we came in the air, and he says that he snuck into a American Federation of Teachers meeting, or no, an NEA, National Education Association meeting in New Orleans, which was the national meeting they had that year in 2004. 2004, he said that meeting was full of this kind of talk. We own the kids. It's our responsibility to mold them into the citizens that they need to, that we need them to be for the future, including, you know, all the inclusion, all the sexual deviant stuff.
Well, the teachers union there, the National Education Association, they've been far left for a long time. I can remember back, my mom was a public school teacher back in the, gosh, when was that? 70s, 80s, late 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. And back then, you know, I remember she dropped out of the, I don't think she was ever a member of the NEA, but they had state chapters, right, for teachers. And I remember reading the manual of the National Education Association. They were talking about supporting the Sandinistas in
Honduras, in Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. Remember that? The communists. Yeah. Remember that,
yeah.
Ray?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought to myself, I remember reading that. I was going, what in the world does the National Education Association have to do with the Sandinistas and communist revolutionaries in Central America? That's how far left they were back even then. That is the hierarchy of the National Education Association, the largest teachers union. There have been alternative teachers unions come up since then. So, but a lot of states back then would force you, if you were a public school teacher, to join the union, you know, or send dues to support the National Education Association. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
I've got another teacher, a math professor. This is a math professor who teaches at Brooklyn College, and she has a problem with math. This is what she says. The idea that math or data is culturally neutral in any way objective is a myth. I'm ready to move on with that understanding. Who's coming with me? I'd rather think of nurturing people and protecting the planet with math in service of those goals. So, and of course, the math neutral because 2 + 2 = 4 trope is creepy. So I think she will be very proud when the first African-American transgender gay astronauts die in an explosion on the liftoff pad because new math engineers were the ones that designed the capsule.
Mm. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
I do too. I'm not wishing for that, but can you imagine somebody
Open the line of a country song you just gave us there, Steve?
It might be. I'm just trying to imagine what math would look like in the engineering room at NASA when they're designing these things if you don't believe that 2 + 2 = 4. Racist.
Steve, what's her objection to 2 + 2 = 4? I mean, if it doesn't equal 4, what does it equal? What is she saying? It doesn't equal anything?
Or she's calling it a trope. I think she's calling it a trope, and it's creepy. And that math is pure and is again a trope.
Who is this, Steve?
This is a teacher named Lori Rubel, R-U-B-E-L, teaches at Brooklyn College in New York. Now,
math is racist?
Math is racist because all of these empirical formulas and all the science that was discovered by white people.
Nobody takes her seriously.
Well, I think what you're getting here is what you've
tell us, Walker.
From
what are we
other,
getting here?
What you're getting here is the assault on any objective truth,
right?
And yes, it's bizarre and goofy,
even math
and goofy that they're going at math now, which is more moronic. But they've gone after human sexuality, whether there's actually male and female, or is there more than that? So they've really assaulted truth from many angles. But now they're getting at even math. But it goes along with that way of thinking, where everyone just makes up their own truth.
I tell you what, if I went up to this lady What's her name again?
Lori Rubel.
Like Barney?
Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, Rubel.
Barney Rubel?
R-U-B-E-L. So, yes.
Steve doesn't get it.
Yes, I do.
Anyway.
Rubel.
Oh, you do
Rubble.
Get it. You just didn't find it humorous.
No, okay. I just got it halfway through when I
Walker
was
Walker doesn't know what I'm talking about. Walker, you know who Barney Rubel is? See what I mean? This is a generation lost right
here. That's right. This is what's wrong with American education right
that's
here.
That's right. Walker doesn't know who Barney Rubel is. okay, so if this woman who believes in no rules math or abstract math, whatever you want to call it, I don't know what she calls it. If I were to walk up to her and say, hey, I'll trade you my 20 for your $100 bill,
right.
Wonder what she'd say. I bet she'd find a difference in numbers. Right there. Don't you think, Steve?
I do think so. By the way, our producer, Brent, points out that she said this in 2018, and it's only gotten worse since then.
Yeah, with interest.
That's right.
Huh? All right. Give us some sane news, Steve.
Well, I do have some sanity that is trying to correct insanity. The state of Idaho decided on March 30th, their governor, Brad Little, signed a law called the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It made Idaho.
Hey, bless you.
Sorry about that.
Put your face in your elbow.
Yeah.
See, that's why we got you on Planet Venus.
That's exactly why. I have no mute
Studio
button here
Venus.
Either. I'm so
Walker
sorry.
And I don't have to worry about that sneeze you had there.
On March 30th, Brad Little signed a bill called the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, which made Idaho the first state to pass legislation preventing biological males from competing in women's sports when they claim to be females. Well, 300, on July 29th, 300 female athletes, including Olympic, National and Collegiate Athletics athletes, signed a letter, female athletes, saying, support this bill, NCAA, don't boycott Idaho, because they want women's sports to be women's sports.
That case, now that those, the 300 you mentioned, the athletes.
Yes.
Are any of them, do you know if they're tied to the Supreme Court case that's coming up this next year?
The ACLU has filed a lawsuit, and yeah. It might be, this might be in the form of an amicus.
Yeah, there's a very important case similar to what you're talking about, Steve, that is making its way to the Supreme mm-hmm. Court. A couple teenagers, I think high schoolers.
From Connecticut.
Yeah, are suing over... I think it's the state sports or
yes.
athletic department over ensuring that they get to have their own sports.
And ADF has taken that case.
Yeah, so that's going to be a very interesting case, yep. And it goes along well with what you're talking about.
This is separate. This is actually, this letter was sent to the NCAA, who was
okay.
saying that they're going to boycott Idaho because they don't allow men to race in women's sports.
The NCAA?
Yes.
Now, is that conclusive?
I'll read you what it says here. The female, they sent a letter to the NCAA Board of Governors asking it to reject calls from LGBT activists to boycott
okay,
Idaho.
Okay, well, then they hadn't done it.
Law. Yeah, no.
No,
correct.
No, just want to clarify that.
Yes.
NCAA has not announced that.
They're being pressured to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the LGBTQ,
ACLU, right.
Whatever. they're not going to, well, I don't know. We'll see if they do that. That would be insane on the part of the NCAA to start letting boys compete against girls in sports.
Well, I've seen where some Olympic committees are saying that.
Well, that's
okay.
insane too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you would ruin women's athletics if you let these guys who say they're girls compete.
Mm-hmm.
You want to ruin women's athletics? You do that. Just go on and do that. Anyway, even liberal women are opposed to this. Martina Navratilova, you remember?
Yep. Yeah,
the famous tennis star from the 60s and 70s and 80s, she came out and said we can't have males competing in our sport just because they call themselves girls. It'll ruin our sport. Now, she was roundly condemned, just like J.K. Rowling. They've gone after her, you know, the Harry Potter mm-hmm. Author. But they're absolutely right. So this isn't necessarily just a conservative liberal or Christian v. non-Christian issue. This is a common sense and science-based
argument. Yeah, kind of like 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah, duly noted, Walker. True. Good point. Now look up Barney Rubble so we can have a conversation after the show. Go ahead, Steve. What
all right,
you got?
What's next? How would you like to wake up to some nice affirmations from one of your favorite inspirational speakers? I'd say pastor, except there are some doubts. This is cut 7.
God has never failed in the past. The good news is he's not going to start with you. Stay in faith and stay open. When you speak defeat over your life like that, you are inviting bad breaks, disappointments, lack. Zip it up and find a you promised. We need you, not just alive,
okay, what do you got going
passionate.
On, Steve?
This is,
I know who that is.
It's Joel Osteen's Inspiration Cube. And for only $39.99, you can have one of these cubes that gives you these aspirations every morning when you wake up by your bedside.
It's a cube?
Yeah, what now?
It's called an Inspiration Cube. It looks kind of like an Alexa, but you program it so that it wakes you up every morning with one of these little inspirational sayings to start your day.
Oh, instead of an alarm going off?
Yes.
Yeah, but how are you even comprehending it since it's waking you up?
Well, let's just say that the theological depth is such that you don't really have to have a whole lot of brain cells working when you hear it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, by the time you hear it, can you hit snooze on there?
Maybe you get a second inspiration when the snooze.
Who's selling
wears
this?
Off.
Who's selling?
Joel
this?
Osteen is selling it. If you can imagine,
he's selling a ton too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, it's America.
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 All right. Next story, Steve.
No, that's it.
That's all it. That's all you
today.
Got. What do we got? 2 minutes of silence here. What do we got?
So the question is, how long until people get tired of hearing Joel Osteen? There's no more aspiration.
It's been a while since he's been out there. Some people aren't that.
He's extremely popular.
You know, I remember living in Southern California.
Ray?
Yeah, he's right. Huge.
Yeah,
I remember living in Southern California in the days of the Crystal Cathedral and Robert Schuller.
Right.
And I remember I was going to Biola University at the time, about 1981, 82. And I remember going there and sitting outside after church to count how many people actually brought their Bibles to church. A little judgmental of me. But it's about the same as the COVID death rate. About 3% of people who attended that church actually walked out with their Bibles.
Hmm. Talking about Robert Schuller?
Robert Schuller, yes.
You know, this. I'm looking at this, and it has one for every day of the year.
Yeah.
365.
Tim, this is an idea here for AFA. We need our American Family Association Wake Up Cube, you know?
We could wake people up. I could do one. You could do one, Ray.
That's right.
Walker could do one.
Mine would be one, different voice every day.
Mine would be, good morning, Chicago's on fire. Have a great day. Huh? What about that? You think that would inspire people?
Huh?
We could even do it updated. You know, to update the day.
Good morning. 2 + 2 = 5 today.
That's right.
Unless that insults you, then it equals
good Tuesday
3.
Morning. Well, welcome to your Tuesday. Joe Biden thinks it's Wednesday.
Okay, that's
your daily
good.
Dose of inspiration.
We just did
a week right there.
That's right.
We could have a Joe Biden inspiration cube.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Walker.
Yes, sir.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson, who joined us earlier, and Alex McFarland. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Stay tuned for some excellent Bible teaching, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Stay with us.